I don't know why I got really shy there. Okay.
That was funny.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Your Receipts. As you know, or if you don't know, Your Receipts are the episodes where we help you out with your dilemmas, we read out your situations, and just see how we can be of help. It's kind of like an agony aunt, but with sauce and all of that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Remember when we first started Your Receipts? Was it Auntie Deji?
And, yeah. Oh yeah, of course.
Exactly.
We always forget these.
We've changed so much, guys. Yeah.
Okay, so it's your girl Tolly T.
Audrey, formerly known as Ghana's Finest.
And your mamacita Milena Sanchez.
Guys, so I was driving down, yeah? And you know this golden hour, sunset, motion, beautiful.
Golden shower, yeah.
Wow.
No. Sorry, no, that was a bad joke.
Anyways, it just felt so lovely to be driving, listening to Magic, because I love listening to Magic, because it's just tunes that are not on my playlist.
I know.
But that I know.
Yeah.
And they just bring back memories. Can you wait a minute? Magic. Have I finished?
Sorry, land.
That sounded very aggressive.
No, I was joking.
Land.
No, go. No,
finish. I'll sing my song.
Let Phoebe Park. TBT.
Yeah, so
back Thursday. Yeah. No, carry on.
Don't you think that there are certain songs that, not right off, but because they're not the normal genre that you listen to, you don't really listen to it?
Yeah, but the
lyrics are fucking sick.
What song are you thinking of?
It's a quarter after one and I'm a little drunk and I need you now.
Let SZA do that.
Oh yeah. And it will be number one for 5 years.
That will bang.
I promise you.
That song probably was number one for 5 years.
I don't even know. It's some country indie thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what Chad and I used to love? London's Heart 106.2. Late night love songs.
How did I?
Oh my God.
Get through a night without you? If I had to live without you, what kind of life would that be? I need you to hold. You're my world, my heart, my soul. If you ever leave, baby, you will take away everything good in my life. Let's go. And tell me now, how do I live?
Thank God.
She was 16 when that song came out, you know.
And Leanne Rimes, right?
Are you joking?
Mm-hmm. That song is a banger. Mm-hmm.
And she sang it with all that soul. Like,
it's one of them, it's one of them songs, like my favourite parts of the ad-libs. I know this is not part of the podcast here,
it's
but
tune.
You know Whitney Houston, that... But she goes, as the years they pass us by, years. I get that. We stay younger each other's eye. No, every time I hear that, I get gassed.
That's a tune as well. They bang that on Magic as well.
Oh, I have to listen to like love songs now, like, but like I love songs by white women.
Exactly.
I love Magic.
I love it because I absolutely and I love Celine Dion. That is my favorite woman.
Celine Dion.
You don't know how much I love Celine Dion.
What was that song?
I was trying to beg you guys to let us go see you in Vegas. He just wasn't having
what
it.
What song?
She had that her classic one.
There's plenty.
Don't leave, but don't say what you're about to say.
No.
Look back before you leave my life.
Don't leave my life. Be sure before you close. No, she had bangers.
Magic is a real one.
Oh, what was that? The Power of Love. And then she talks.
In the power of love.
And Think Twice. No, she had
what about
I can't live if living is without
banger.
You.
Banger.
I can't live.
Rewind.
I can't give anymore.
But
no, I can't see it. This feeling, all that face that you are leaving. But I guess that's just the way the story goes.
Bang on. No,
but it's the way she starts off. I can't.
No, bruv.
But then, by the second paragraph, I was like, I can't live!
what fucking tune gets me?
They don't make them songs like that.
Do you know what fucking song gets me after a breakup? Don't speak, I know just what you're saying.
Okay, stop, so guys, this is a Your Receipt. Sorry.
Yeah, for
this
real.
Your
we don't even have that kind of time.
This is a fully Your Receipt. Before we start, for one,
that took me down memory
we then. Just want to say thank you. Like, I feel like we've got out of a habit of like doing it every episode. And I'm sure you guys, I'm sure you guys... I'm sure you guys know how much we appreciate you. We like love you. We're really, really, really thankful that you guys listen to us week after week after week. And because of your listenership, we've had the opportunities to do like really amazing things. And one of those being we've like secured a BBC One Extra show, which is absolutely sick. It's going to be a show that runs for 6 weeks and it's going to be on One Extra. We will send out the links of where when it's on and when it's out and everything like that. But we're going to have guests. We're just going to be talking, and like, thanks for the reaction on Twitter, you guys. Like, thank you for the congratulations. You gassed us so much. I mean, every single one of us cried at some point. But just to let you know, the Receipts podcast is not going anywhere. You'll still be dropping every Wednesday. What we've got with BBC is called
Receipts on One Extra.
The Receipts podcast is this little entity. It's not. We're not. This is us. This is home to us. This is not going anywhere. So always remember that Wednesdays is still going to be a drop. On Wednesdays, listen to the Receipts.
It's just getting extra.
It's a life habit. You're just getting extra now. That's basically. So that's what that is. But yeah, so let's start Your Receipts. Sorry, I don't know where we went musically there, but
I don't know how that happened.
Clearly we're going through some things.
That was wonderful. Okay, cool. So I will start with the first dilemma.
Okay.
So it says, hi girls, I got dumped a month ago.
So
I want to make sure I've at least learned something from this ending. I need proper advice as all my friends are telling me I'm better off and no one is saying maybe you did this wrong, etc. By the way, your podcast keeps me company in my house, which now feels kind of empty, and I appreciate you lot. So we met on Tinder, met for a one night stand. He didn't want me to go in the morning and the next and the next.
We became a couple
a month later and moved in together to a new place 2 months later. Turns out we were 4 months in. He had coffee with a girl that he'd been sexting since before we met. Then they didn't keep contact. I found out much later that I wasn't even looking for something. We went through hell, but I forgived him. Forgave him. She meant to say forgave him. Okay, cool. I'd even say our relationship got stronger. A year later, everything was amazing. He proposed.
This is
romance on heroin.
Wow, Audrey.
A year later, everything was amazing. He proposed. I said yes, unable to believe how lucky I am. A week after the engagement, he asked me if we should consider having unprotected sex, as he was ready to have kids with me before I start my PhD. I said, let's wait. Then the following week, we had 3 manageable arguments, nothing I thought we couldn't talk ourselves out of. Then he said he has to process stuff and slept on the couch for the next 3 days. I'm giving dates because he said he's breaking up with me right after. Moved out the next day, which is just 2 weeks after he proposed. I was shocked. He didn't bother to properly explain. As he was moving out, I squeezed out some reasons from him. Then he said, we have a very different understandings of healthy communication. I'm a mellow person. I rarely start an argument, whereas you always want to talk things out. You have a way of looking at things for everything. You are very opinionated and enjoy a good debate when I get exhausted. If I have a problem, I either choose not to care about it or accept it as it is. I do not want to change you, but you make me feel like I have to keep adjusting myself.
Oh, wow.
You should have gotten the clues of me not being someone that likes to talk things out. Maybe not nice to say, but after forgiving him for what he did, I thought I deserved a better heads up if I wasn't getting the clue.
Okay. Cool.
When I look back now, I just remember telling him, I enjoy communicating with you, even if it's an argument. And he said, I don't. I'd rather cuddle.
Aww.
I told him
it's not our speak.
I told him I didn't make it obvious. No, I told him he didn't make it obvious. But now I know I can watch my tone and be more gentle. It's not worth it to break up over this. But he wasn't sure. I do think this is the honest reason. I am not suspicious of anything else. We both cried, hugged, and kissed, and we said we loved each other and wished the best for the other the last day.
Oh, civil breakup.
Now I'm thinking, could I be too opinionated? to the point I became unbearable. I do read and think a lot and stand maybe too firmly for what I believe and make sure I live my life accordingly in all aspects and not bend for the sake of ease. Should I stretch as it's exhausting for people around me in the long run? And secondly, do you think this breakup is a valid reason? Was I being petty when I said this is not changing who I am and I can be more agreeable towards him? Not sure how I should improve myself as a partner. I'm glad he's left now. I don't think one can sustain a marriage without talking things out, but I want to learn for the next lucky bastard. Laugh out loud. Would love to know what you guys think. Best wishes to each one of you.
Oh, thanks.
Cool. Improve, that was a long one.
It's actually nice though that we've got somebody that wants to know how they could improve themselves rather than, oh, he done this and I'm not to blame.
To be honest, I just feel like you just weren't compatible. I think it's one of those things where like he is valid in his reasons in terms of like, my methods of communication is different to your methods of communication. Yeah. And she's also valid in her reason of like, this is what I believe and this is what I stand for. And if we've got an issue, I want to talk about it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I don't even think there's anything wrong with being opinionated. I feel like it's good. Okay. As someone that is opinionated, that I do realize there's some things, not every battle is worth fighting. I have learned. That's definitely one thing I took out of my last relationship where it was like, I need to pick my battles. And it's not everything that's worth the fight or the drama or the melodramatics or the crying or the tears or the arguments. Sometimes just leave it. And if I say, if that's one thing you take out of that breakup, it is that, do you know what? Not everything is worth the fight. And that's how I see it. Pick your battles correctly. That's definitely a thing that I definitely had to learn. And I'm probably still learning as well to be like, it is not everything you need to pick up on sometimes. Just leave it. But it's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. I totally agree. I think that you guys are just not compatible. It's a shame, really. And I think this is why, I mean, obviously it was nice that he proposed and stuff, but I think this is why you need to really take the time out to get to know people before you do things like move in, before you do things like get engaged, because you really don't know somebody very well after a month. Like, even their man on Love Island, they don't really know each other. Like, I'm not convinced they know each other. Like, so yeah, I think you just really need to take your time to get to know somebody through and through before you make such major commitments. But I agree. I don't think you should compromise who you are. At the end of the day, like, yeah, you may be a little bit opinionated, but there's going to be a guy out there that loves your opinionated ass and love all your opinions, you know. And I think this guy just wasn't the guy for you. So it's just one of those things. It's just a lesson, but it's good that you're doing the self-reflecting. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's so important. After the end of anything, I always like to self-reflect and be like, okay, Talani, this person was a bastard. This was this. But sis, what did you do?
Nothing. Exactly. And a lot of people don't do that. Do you know what I mean? So the fact that she's written in, say, like, did I play a part in this breakup is actually like very mature of you. I just think you guys weren't compatible. I don't think it was necessarily anybody's fault.
I don't think it was a fault. It was just
it was just,
and even like your
things.
Civil ending of the whole hugging good luck blah blah after a breakup kind of, I feel when people break really up like that, there's a clear, like, you know what, this just isn't right.
It isn't right, isn't it?
But just to echo what Tolly said as well, please pick your battles. It's really not worth it. Like, when you live with someone every day, if you picked up on every single thing that person did, like, trust me, you'll be arguing all day. Like, so yeah, just to echo that. I agree.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Retweet what you meant.
Okay, next dilemma. Hey ladies, hope you're doing well. My dilemma is really deep, so bear with me. 2.5 years ago, I was involved in a car crash, which left me in hospital for 4 months. I was out with my friends. We was heading to our usual spot till we got to a busy junction, and me being in a passenger seat felt the full impact. It changed my life. I lost my left eye in surgery and have nerve damage that still affects my everyday motions. While I was in hospital trying to recover and then mentally deal with what had happened, one day it all just overwhelmed me and I cried so hard all my stitches in my face had to be redone. My girlfriend at the time soon later left me, which I sort of understand, and slowly so did most of my friends. I'm 24 years old now and I still struggle with the life-changing injuries I've had to my body, and there was a scar where my eye used to be, so I wear a patch. Oh. While I was in hospital, the doctor told my family that it wasn't likely I could survive, and the left side of my body would not function the same. But thanks to God, I can do most things. Oh, thank God. So my dilemma is, I know I should feel grateful I survived and so many other things could have happened. I could literally be vegetable, but deep down, sometimes I wish I would have died that night.
Oh my God.
I don't know how to explain these feelings that suddenly come over me. One minute I could be okay thinking I can work things out and then maybe I can see my reflection that shocks me again. Or when I can't feel anything in my left hand and I can't pick up a pen to write. I'm a prideful guy, but I don't feel like a man in this state. I feel so vulnerable and lost. It's affected me in so many ways. I used to be the loudest guy in the room who enjoyed a social life and just being that guy. But now you wouldn't notice me if I was in the room. I often sit in my room on nights I used to go out and think of what my life will be now. If I would have my own family now. Should I give up on my dreams? My work colleagues have been super supportive, especially my manager, which feels like I should go to therapist. Who feels mm-hmm. I should go to therapist. Mm-hmm. But I'm really nervous facing a stranger with my problems and emotions. Sounds a bit crazy to me, especially since I don't see that at home. I just don't see how, like, telling someone could help me in a situation I could really deal with it. Sorry for such a bleak dilemma. It's bleak, but it's life. So, I am so sorry that you went through that. Like, that is absolutely awful. Like, that is awful. I can't even imagine or even want to imagine having gone through that sort of trauma and then being someone that was fully able and then having gone through an accident and not being able to do so many things.
I'd say really, really take the time out and speak to a therapist.
I think absolutely if you speak to a therapist, I think what you're going through is absolutely normal. Yeah. I feel like anybody that's probably gone through something this traumatic will come out of it and feel like, I don't even want to be here anymore or like, why am I here anymore? Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're here for a reason because like, it could have been so much worse, like you said, and it hasn't been. And like you said, thanks to God, so I assume you're a God-fearing person. God kept you here for a reason. Like your time here is not done yet.
This is a testimony that you have that you're definitely going to use to fulfill in some way, shape or form. And just to go back to the point about what you were saying about, it almost sounded like you're saying that you feel like you're going to be a burden talking to a therapist. Like, absolutely not. This is what they're there for.
Yeah.
This is what they deal with absolutely, like, every day. They've heard it all. So that's a place that you can go and get, just say everything that you're feeling internally, just like say out loud and you'll be surprised how much better that does make you feel. And it's like, you're gonna have, because the thing is, like, prayer and being religious, I'm so here for that, it's so important,
but sometimes you need someone
to respond to you, you know. So I feel like your manager saying that is a message that, like, maybe pay attention to, because I mean, the spiritual side is so important, but you need someone to talk back to sometimes. So I think you should definitely, definitely consider it. And just another thing, like, I know what you were saying about feeling bad that you're not appreciative that you made it. And sometimes it's like, you have every right to feel like your situation is shit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And like, sometimes I feel like I do it myself all the time. Like, if I complain about something, I'm like, oh, well, there's always someone going.
But it's
like,
relative. So, yeah, it's
exactly. Everyone's pain and everyone's issues are all relative. And like, what happened to you is actually very, very, very traumatic. This isn't something small. So don't feel like you have to feel, obviously it's amazing that you're still here. I'm not saying that, but like, this happened to you. This is real. You have the right to be angry about it. And I feel like you should just express all the emotions that you want to express, you know? But you're so brave for writing in, and we really, really, really appreciate
it.
Yeah,
the same way. Okay, see, is this, in terms of therapists, the same way you wrote that to us and it's just to have an outlet.
Yeah, just
like, I'm sure you wrote that just to have an outlet, just to be like, I'm feeling these things. Like, let me put it down and present it to someone. So please take that attitude and see and speak about someone that's professional, because all we have is sympathy. All we can speak from is emotion. We are not professionals. So all we can speak from is emotions and experience. And like, I honestly believe that seeing a professional who can help you handle your feelings and deal with your feelings is going to be so helpful and so beneficial for you. And I'm definitely like at a stage now myself when I was like, you know what, I need to invest in a therapist. I need to do something for my mind. And I have never gone through anything as half as traumatic as you've gone through. But yeah, I'm like, you know what? Something's got to give. Like, there's emotions that I've been felt. I was like, you know, this doesn't feel right. This is probably not normal. Yeah. So I think you should definitely talk to someone.
And remember, every single morning that you wake up, don't ever feel like a failure, because the day before, you made it through yourself. Use that strength to carry on. And like, this is somebody talking from my brother-in-law at the time has now got a brain injury due to a car crash as well. And every time I see him and I see that he's down, he's having a down day, I'm just like, just remember, you've come this far. Like, don't give up now. You can't give up now. Like, just, you got to carry on pushing. And I know it's easier said than done. Stay positive, to do this and do that. But there are methods out there that, you know, just go to a therapist.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Nah, it's mad.
Aww. We wish you all the recovery in the world. And
anytime you want to email us, please, yeah, just please email us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, please do.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
Okay. Next dilemma.
Hi guys, I sincerely love your podcast. I came across it a couple of weeks ago and I find myself laughing, tearing, or simply smiling as I listen, and I love every moment. I can honestly say your podcast is exactly what I was looking for, needed, and I'm grateful.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Anyways, my dilemma is about my longtime boyfriend. We're touching our 5th year anniversary in a week, and it's been such a roller coaster. We met in our final year of high school, 17 years old, but officially started dating almost 2 years later. I just turned 25. Okay. We're both the same age. We are each other's first. So first kiss, first relationship, first and only sexual partner. Aww. A lot has happened over that you know of. Anyway, oh, I'm joking.
Elena. Elena.
A lot has happened over the years, but we've always been faithful and he's my biggest supporter, my best friend, and I truly love this guy with all my heart. He's probably the most funniest person I've ever met. He's great with my family. He's met both of my parents and I've met his. Okay. I'm very close to his mom. She's become a second mother to me. Okay. His 6'8".
What's the issue, bro?
Some bare backstory.
And he's such a family man. He speaks so highly to me, to his friends and family. We both graduate uni this June and marriage has been the movement since our families have become involved. And we're both Muslim. He's literally everything and more.
Okay.
But I sometimes feel like I'm not fully there for him. Oh. I've always had issues with my mother and the eldest daughter. I'm the eldest daughter and we've always been in conflict. She was very abusive emotionally and physically as a child, and I've noticed that I kind of suppressed my feelings about it until recently, where I broke down crying and told him everything. He's always been there to fix the situation, to reassure me. He calms me down and encourages me. He knows how to sit me down and tell me the things that I'm not trying to hear when I'm not trying to hear it. He's even noticed bad-minded friends who actually end up snaking me. He's literally the best thing that's ever happened to me, and I appreciate him so much.
Dilemma?
But we've kind of always had this overaching issue.
Arching. Oh. Sorry, it's a long one. Sorry. I don't even blame you. Sometimes the words start to like other things.
I just missed out that whole R, you know. Overarching issue where I run from confrontation, or I'm the type to stay silent during certain arguments that I really just want to end. So it turns into a rant. Or it turns into a rant or speech on his end, and it really annoys me. I've recently noticed that it's the same tactic I used to do as a kid with my mum, where she'd be cussing me out and I'd just stand there and take it in silence just for it to end. Lately, he's been dealing with a lot and we're going through a very transitional period in our lives. He's constantly brought up the fact that he feels lonely sometimes, or he feels unheard or alone. He hasn't really had a stable household. He lives away from uni and he barely sees his parents. He shields his emotion really well, and I'm not the most analytical person. I don't really read him well. He has mentioned before that he's talked to girls before we got together. And what he found attractive was the fact that one girl in particular was able to navigate his mind, so he says. What I think he means by this is that
you're not analytical. You clearly are analytical.
Yeah, because you've analysed
every situation. Anyway, carry on. Sorry.
What I think he means by this is that he needs someone who he can talk to about anything. Someone who's extremely engaged and helps him express his thoughts thoroughly. He's mentioned that he hates being left with his thoughts when he's upset, angry, or in situations where he might ignore me. He's also mentioned that he hates nothing more than when I go silent during an argument. I find myself not knowing what to say in his time or of need, or how to even approach a situation. What ends up happening is he kind of solves the issue himself. I'll be there to talk to, but I kind of feel helpless and don't want to say anything wrong. So I kind of keep my comments to a minimum. He says I'm a great listener, but can't really articulate myself when it matters the most to him. and this made him feel anxious or hesitant about marriage. I don't know how to be that shoulder for him. It kind of makes me uncomfortable, and the thought of him needing me makes me nervous. I feel like I don't deserve him, or that he deserves better. I feel like there's something wrong with me. Why is it so difficult for me to be a supportive person he needs? Why do I get this constant feeling of anxiety when he wants me to articulate my thoughts? What are some ways I can reassure my boyfriend? I love him so much, yet I still find it hard to be the fixer in our relationship. He does it so beautifully, and it's intimidating at times. I guess I just want to reciprocate how supportive he is to me. But in that moment, I end up choking. I feel like he just wants reassurance that if times are hard, I'll be there to step up to the plate. Audrey, your relationship with Nick, were there things that you guys were hesitant about when y'all first started considering marriage? If so, how were some ways that you resolved them? I'm not sorry for my lengthy email.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say.
I'm sorry for my lengthy email, but I honestly don't know what's wrong with me.
Firstly...
Wait, can I just say something? Okay, firstly, right, sorry about what's like, we're not even trying to demean the situation, but that is a long ass email. Like, I'm sorry, but that is very, very long. It was about 16 paragraphs. But here's the thing, all jokes aside, yeah, you are a great writer. So anytime he's feeling away, write him an email and send it to him.
Yes.
If like, you feel awkward talking, because you've articulated yourself so fucking
perfectly.
Well in that, and you've said a problem, you've analysed it, you found a solution. You might not have realised it.
I don't even know how to answer it.
That's what you've done.
You know.
Found a problem, you've picked out elements of it, and you've solved it in that email. You might not have realised that,
exactly,
but you've literally done it. So anytime he's got an issue, you feel like, I feel awkward
refer
talking
back
to him,
to paragraph
email
three.
Him.
Go to the next room and be like, hold on, babe.
Yeah, and text him, because you've got a lot to say, and
definitely,
you're a very analytical person. But it's not everybody can play every role in the relationship.
Yeah, I think that, do you know what it is? I think exactly what you said, yeah. I feel like people express themselves through different ways, and I feel like maybe you're developing your skills of being able to do it with him face to face kind of thing, but you damn sure know what to do. I feel like you have the answers, because like Tolly said, you literally said what the issue was, and then you solved it. So I think deep down, you know. I think it's just a fear thing. I think you're just scared to put yourself out there. And I think that's what it is more than anything. You know what you need to do. If he needs you to be there, you know that you need to be there. So just be there. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like it's just putting this email into action. Like,
literally.
So refer back to email between paragraphs 1 to 16.
Yeah.
And when said issue arises, refer back to the email and just look at your own answer.
And I feel like her boyfriend's been very clear on how he wants to be
literally
treated.
Yeah.
Because
very
sometimes
lucky.
That's really, really hard. Mm-hmm. Men don't tell, like, because for me, I think it's very important. When I meet someone, I like to tell them how I like to be loved.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Aww. I think it's important to teach someone how to love you. And that only comes from an element of self-love.
Yeah,
and
so
I feel like your partner has been very, very good in telling
you're
you like what he wants
ones.
And what he needs, and communicating that with you. And that is a great trait for him. Mm-hmm. And I think listen to it, but action it.
Exactly. Because honestly, it would be a shame for you to have this great guy that's got all these qualities and a great communicator, which is quite hard to find.
Yeah.
And him clearly telling you what the issue is and you just like not doing anything about it.
Action,
that would be
what
a
he
shame.
Says to you. He's like, when I'm upset, I don't want you to go silent. I want you to talk.
Exactly.
Try that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. That email thing is the greatest thing you've said.
Because she's just wrote an awful lot. Because
I can't even remember what I was watching, but someone went to see a therapist, and the therapist literally said that they were like, when you're feeling something, go and write. And this was BPM
the Kardashian.
Days. Was it Kardashian?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Kourtney, innit?
Because then Kim
then,
said
yeah,
it by
yeah,
accident.
And then she was like, literally write down your feelings. Like anything that you feel like you can't verbally say, write it down.
Yeah.
And so that is really, really good advice. So I think you should definitely do that.
Absolutely.
But yeah, next dilemma.
Woo!
Boy.
Woo! All right, cool. Dear the receipts, I love you guys so much. You literally never failed to make me laugh, and I wish you guys all the success in the world.
Thank you.
I've just turned 23, finished a master's degree, and I'm about to start my career in the pharmaceutical science sector. I've been blessed with many amazing experiences, and I give glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. There is one thing that is at the back of my mind, though, which is stupid. I've never been in a serious... I've never been in a serious relationship.
You've got your whole career. You're 23.
I've spoken to guys, but never
leave them alone
to an intimate level. Like, I've never truly connected with a guy. I know relationships are not the be all and end all, but I would love to
be in one and have someone who I can confide with and rely on. Like, everyone I know my age has experienced some sort of love relationship and I have not experienced anything. Yeah. I feel like I'm missing out. My question is, am I weird for feeling this way? And at 23, how did you guys feel about love and relationship? Love you guys.
First of all, thank you for the clear, concise and short email with the limited background information, but the criticals, thank you.
You're not missing out on much.
Oh God, babes. Listen, and also, yeah, let me tell you something about people around you. They will make out like everything is hunky-dory. I can guarantee you by 23, like, most people, a lot of people haven't been in serious relationships at 23. Like, you know, it's not really, not serious ones. I'm not saying that people haven't, like, dated guys or whatever, but not serious relationships. I think that you guys, I don't know if I was, when I was 23, I felt like I was really old at 23, but that's what seems to be coming across from a lot of emails. Like, I don't think you guys realize how much, like, you guys are baby girls and baby boys.
I think the society has made this thing where people feel like they have to grow up so quickly.
But remember being 18 and thinking at 25 you was gonna have everything.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely. Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to understand. Like, do people really feel like they're old at 23? Because you've got so much, and the fact that you've graduated with a master's at 23 in the pharmaceutical sector.
Wow.
Sis.
Babe, let me just I'm not even trying to, again, I'm not trying to make your feelings invalid. It will come.
Yeah.
It will actually come. I know you're not weird for feeling like alone and like, oh, my age mates are doing this, or people have always had a boy that likes them and I haven't had that. No, that's not weird. But you know what? That just hasn't happened yet. And when it happens, it happens. Like, it's literally like,
do not.
And if you want to go, and if you want it, actively look for it and join Tinder, join Bumble, go out on road and look to be shoot your shot at people. If you want it, actively try to get it. But like you said, it's not the be all end all. You're not weird for feeling it. It's completely understandable. And at 23, I was in a relationship. So I kind of I love, blah, blah, blah. But like,
you were almost hitting your 10-year mark by then.
By 23, yeah.
I was with someone, well, I was going to say names, well, for 6 years and I was pregnant at 23.
Everyone has different stages.
Everyone has different stories and stages, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Literally, everyone's path is different.
I've got a friend yet, and she, honestly, she, as long as I've known her, she was never in a relationship ever. Then literally at 29, she met her husband. They got married and had a baby in a year. So, like, people have
bada bing, bada boom.
People have different stories. There's not one track way.
And that's the thing
doing
about
things.
Here's what I'm going to say about love and looking for love. Unlike anything else, right, where you're kind of told what to do. For example, when you want to succeed in school, you want to succeed in the job, you know the path. You work hard, you get this, you do this. With love, there is no rule book. Yeah. Nobody has a fucking clue what you do.
Literally, no one.
Like, there's no set ways to do it. And even that, I feel like hearing different people's, because I am obsessed with love stories. So when I meet someone, I speak to new people, one of the things I ask them is like, oh, you, like, they tell me their stories, their love stories, their relationship stories. And stories are so diverse and varied. It shows that there is no one set way to find a man. Some people sleep with a guy on the first date and marry him. Yeah. Some people don't sleep with them for 10 years, then marry them. Yeah. Some people, do you know what I mean? There's so many different love stories. There is that we literally met and 3 months after we got married.
Yeah.
There's so many different stories. Stop feeling like, oh, comparing yourself to everybody else's. Because honestly, when it happens, it happens. And if at 23, you're fretting, what should I do at 29, 28, 29? Should I go and die?
23.
I'm going to be 29 next month.
23. Babe, focus on your career.
Do you know what it is? I think that your head was, I feel like her head was so in her books and now she's like finished her, like she's having a bit of a panic attack because she's, she's finished her thing. She's like, oh my God, I spent all these years studying.
So what the hell should I be
and
having?
And I wasn't thinking about guys. Like, no.
Should I pass out?
Like, you did the right thing by keeping your head down and getting your master's. Like, let's concentrate on celebrating that and love will come. I promise you. You might meet him in the chemist.
Yeah, it will come.
Trust me. He might come in for like some antibiotics.
You know what I mean? You just never know.
Right. Next dilemma. Hey girls, you're so inspirational. It's very crazy to me. Oh, thanks. You keep me going during my shifts when my colleagues try to talk to me and fake laugh and I continue to listen to you guys on my headphones. Anyway, so my dilemma. Thank you. I'm 18 and my whole family are way older than me. Sister is 27 and my parents are in their 50s. I just feel like I'm not achieving at all. I don't know what to do with my life and I feel like such a failure in this household. Mm. Being the way I am, I don't let them know and act like things are okay, but constantly find myself walking to bathrooms to cry at least 3 times a day. Mm.
I'm currently in college and really don't have any motivation to do the course I want to do. It doesn't help that all my family have masters in their area of expertise and continue to look at me as the one who should be all right. Some days are good, but some days I can hardly get out of bed because of the anxiety and stress that weighs me down. Mm. It's sad to say, but that's just such a negative thoughts pass through my head here and there. Just end it all. You won't feel the pain anyway. No. I know it's bad, but the thoughts come more and more in my head and I know it's becoming serious. But once again, to people, I'm loud, bubbly and sociable. When I'm alone, it just gets dark and I feel hopeless. I just need advice, any advice. Is it normal what I'm feeling? Let me know.
Oh, God.
Ooh.
That's crazy.
Well, I definitely don't think it's normal. I definitely don't think it's normal, but... You know, I think, oh God, I feel like this is another one that might be a little bit beyond us. I think that you, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, I'm being completely honest.
You definitely need to talk to someone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I feel like 18 is a very weird age. Like, it's that kind of age where, like, so you said, you feel like, yeah, it's a very, like, I think there's many ages that are quite transitional and very, like, traumatic, weirdly going through them. Because for me, it was like being 16 and I think probably about 18 and then 25.
Yeah.
And then probably now. But it's all very like, what the fuck, I should be doing more with my life. I should have achieved this and these people are doing this or my family's doing this and I'm still here and blah, 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 blah. Baby girl, please.
Literally, baby girl.
Please.
It
is an old African saying. It makes very little sense, but my mum always says it to me, not all fingers are equal, meaning not everyone's paths and stories are going to be the same.
Mm.
Like, it is not what your sister's done, what your parents have done. It's not going to be what you have done or the path you're going to take. Like, it's just just shake your fingers.
Yeah.
it's just not going to be that. And what I beg you to believe in time and...
You're so young.
And it's, I want to say your moment, but there's a better word for it. But all I can think about is your time and your moment. And just know that your time and your moment will come. Mm-hmm. So, like, just like, please... Don't do anything crazy. Please speak to somebody.
Please
speak to somebody.
Yeah, there's so many different outlets out there that are accessible for you to speak to. And there's so many people that are going through the same thing as you. Like, you may not notice it, but there are so many people that are going through with depression, with anxiety. Mm. If anything, maybe go to your doctors and see what they can suggest, because I know that they can, they give out like CBT and different kind of therapy methods. Therapy method, sorry. So yeah, speak to somebody first.
But don't ever question your purpose. Like, like when people question their purpose, like literally everybody has a purpose. You definitely have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And another thing,
you will find something.
And you will find it. Like, you guys have got time. Like, you're so young, and I hate that you've put so like this immense pressure on yourself to achieve and stuff like that. Yep. Because the world is like your oyster at 18. And I know it is hard, especially, but the comparison is the devil. Like, do not compare yourself to other people. I beg you, like, and this just goes for anybody.
Friends, family,
just stay in your own lane and focus on your own journey. Because honestly, if you're looking at other people's lanes, then you don't know what direction you should be going in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So just don't worry about what other people are doing. And you'll be surprised that, like, your family are probably so immensely proud of you, but I feel like you've put this, like, you're putting a pressure on yourself to achieve because of what you've seen other people in your family do. But you have a purpose and there's a reason for you to be here. So please try. I know it's hard, it's easier said than done, but don't let those thoughts like marinate
overwhelm you. I remember being around your age and I was talking to someone that was clear, it was an adult, and he said something to me. He was like, you're young enough to fuck up and start all over again.
Exactly.
He was like, you can fuck up your life completely now, and you're young enough to still start your whole life again and like do a whole rewind.
And
he
you
was
haven't
like,
even fucked
yeah,
up.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, you're young enough to completely fuck up and still have enough time to start again. So, like, don't put that pressure on yourself. And, like, in terms of trying to find what's, it's okay to not know what you want to do at 18.
Listen. Do you know how many things
sometimes
I feel
like I don't want to do? I don't know what I want to do now.
Exactly.
Like,
honestly, like, 18, you were still a baby. Like, I cannot express to you how much of a baby you are, like, in the least patronizing way. But what I'm saying is that you've got your whole life ahead of you. You can dip in and out of careers. You can try new things. You can experiment. Like, so just try and turn all those things that you're seeing as negatives into positives and just be like, you know what? I can try this. If I fail, it doesn't matter. You start again. You pick yourself up and try again. So... Yeah.
Also, you do not always have to be the loud, funny, happy friend.
Oh my God.
Fuck
if you,
that
oh, no,
shit.
No, no, no.
That was exactly. A role I used to play a lot.
That is long.
I'm the strong friend, the friend that's always okay, the friend that's the never clown. Actually hurt.
Yeah,
and like, when nah. I want to cry, I have to go hide somewhere. You lot are going to see me cry, bruv.
Yeah.
Like if I feel it in that moment, I'm feeling away.
Yep.
You're going to have to see me cry. You're going to have to pander to me. You're going to have to ask me what's wrong.
Because yeah, absolutely.
I think sometimes being that strong, happy, bubbly person, mm-hmm. we don't seek help. And then we assume that people are not there for you.
Yeah.
People are not there for you because you don't seek their help. You don't yeah. know. You exactly. that you don't have to put up a show, especially for your family or your friends. If you feel away, like your sister's 27, she's probably a mm-mm. a smart person, like you said. You can probably rely on her more than you know.
Yeah. That's true.
But in you trying to be like, no, let me just keep these things on myself. Yeah. Let me go hide. No, what you're going through in the dark, shed light on it. Let Absolutely. People see through it. Amen. Let people peep through it and be able to help you. Like, fuck, trust me. Mm. I speak about this personally. Fuck the strong friendship because I have done that. Definitely.
And you never know. Your sister might have experienced the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
She might have gone through the same exact feelings, thoughts, everything that you're going through right now. So kind of look at her being older as a positive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah.
Like you can learn from her experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That bubbly, strong, happy friend, that role is not
that pressure on yourself.
I promise you that role is long.
Because then you start to feel like you're a burden when you're telling people stuff, but people don't. And then also people dump all their stuff on you and you're consuming everyone else's negative shit, but you feel like it's not reciprocated.
Yep.
And that can sometimes make you feel worse. So yeah, let your friends know. Like if you're having a bad day, let them know.
So you're human. To cry, I feel like shit.
People get in bad moods. People have sad days. Like, if you have to, don't hide that from your friends. Let them know.
Trust me.
Hope you're okay, babes.
Right. Hey girls, I absolutely love your podcast so much. Only recently started listening, but I have almost got through them all already. Thank you for making me laugh so much. I wanted to email in because I've really been struggling with loneliness since breaking up with my boyfriend. We had been together for 2 years. The past year, I have been really low. I've always struggled with very low confidence in myself, but it has escalated a lot. I don't know if I have depression, but all I know is I have had a really tough year. It got to the point where I started to stay in with my boyfriend a lot more and became more distant from my friends because it just felt easier to me because he knew how I was feeling, etc. We've broken up now after a big fight. The last thing he said to me is that he hasn't introduced me to his friends after 2 years because he's not proud enough to be with me.
Fucking hell. Excuse me.
Even though breaking up was clearly the right thing and our relationship must have been part of the reason I feel so down, it has left me really lonely. I not only have to deal with the heartbreak and the comments he made, but I don't really know who to turn to. I do have friends, but I don't really have a best friend anymore. And I don't think anyone would have the time to be there for me in a way that I need them. The friend thing on top of the breakup feels like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Even if I do get over my ex and the things he said to me, I won't have a tight-knit group of friends at the end. I wanted to ask two things. Do any of you have any advice about getting over a breakup and how do I reconnect with my friends? It seems no one makes new friends anymore. I'm 22, so I feel trapped, to be honest.
Oh, poor thing.
Sorry for the extremely long email of you all.
That was not extremely long. If you know what we've been up with today,
Speedy Gonzalez.
You know, I feel like you have to be so careful what you say out of emotion because it could really stick with people.
Absolutely.
So he might not have even meant that. He just wanted to hurt you at that precise point.
He's a prick.
I'm glad you're not with him.
Yeah.
Fucking prick. Go fuck yourself.
Can we please all be careful?
And I hate people when people like know certain things about you and then they use it against you. Fuck off.
That is the lowest.
Like, you know,
below.
I've got no confidence and you now say you're not proud of me. You're fucking prick for that.
Really
suck your mum.
Good. Good riddance, I'd
say. Anyway, him aside, back to your dilemma. Loneliness after a breakup is very fucking popular. Like,
it's normal.
That's just what it's gonna be. Like, you're gonna feel like pure shit.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to feel like pure shit, especially when it was someone that you spent a lot of your time with, like a boyfriend that you were always with or whatever. Mm. But we get asked this all the time: how'd you get over a breakup? Time, bruv.
Time,
literally, just time.
Time.
Like, I remember when I went through a breakup, someone told me, "Oh, you'll be alright." Shut the fuck up. I'm like, no, I will never be alright. I will die. And they're like, no. Eventually you'll be all right. And then
you look back
and then
for weeks I was mad sad, and then a day would go by, I was like, "Wow, I didn't think about it today." 2 days ago back, "Wow, I didn't think about it today." 3 days, maybe the bitch is really over this nigga. Like, maybe I'm all right. So it is definitely going to be time. And honestly, I don't know any other advice to give them to time. What I would say is, like, try to keep busy. And I know you said, like, you and your friends are somewhat disconnected. I will fully reach out, like, hey girls, the reason why
I'd
this was happening,
I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yep.
I'm sorry if you felt like I wasn't what's the word? Present in our friendship enough. But this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
I got sucked in.
You'll be surprised. They will rally around you. And like, you really do need your girlfriend sometimes to rally around you. Because like, trust me, I've been through some things where like having my girlfriends there, it was actually what got me through the situation. Like if I didn't have my girlfriends there that were willing to like, and the thing is because your friends don't know what you're going through, so they can't be there. Just like similar to the last one, like if people don't know what's happening with you, they can't be there. So you just have to, you're going to have to be the one that reaches out to them, and you're going to be the one that has to like let them know what's happened so that they can be there for you. And you'll be surprised. They will, I'll be very surprised if they don't welcome you back with open arms. Every girl's been through a breakup. We all know
how
it is.
And they always do.
And yeah, exactly. They always do. And we all rally around each other, and that's what I feel like, that's what you need. I feel like one, that will help with the loneliness, and two, that will also help you reconnect with your friends. So I think that yeah, definitely just reach out to them. And yeah, there's no way. I mean, like what Tully said, there's no other way. Like I wish I had the secret answer to how to get over a breakup, but unfortunately there's literally nothing you can do until each day just gets better, and that's it really.
Yeah, I just think it's just gonna have to be time, and I'm sorry you're going through it, but when you're all right, you'll realize that, oh wow, okay, all it is was time. There's no pill, there's no magic potion.
I wish there was a pill.
I wish there was.
If there was a pill,
I would have OD'd on it.
Wow.
But there's no pill.
And with your friends, I think just reach out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would definitely say just reach out to them and just be like, hey girls, sorry I've been
MIA,
but
I'm back now.
I'm back, friends.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, explain the situation. You don't just feel like things are going to like slide in as normal. And also, like, you don't have to have a best friend. Just pick a friend and talk to them. Pick the most understanding friend or one that like you gravitate to the most. It's absolutely fine.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that is it.
That is it.
That was an emotional roller coaster. Really, really I feel a bit mad. To everyone that sent their really deep dilemmas and like what they're going through, like for one, thanks for taking the strength to send that out. And I'm so happy that you feel like you can share that with us and allow us to share it with other people.
Yeah.
And so if anybody else, because obviously there's a lot of things that we kind of like, we don't know. Yeah, so if anybody else listened to this and thought they could help out a bit better than we do, please use the hashtag and help people out as well, and just give them some comfort and some love. So when they look at the hashtag, they can just feel some love and feel like we're some sort of community, and this is like I was going to say sisterhood, but we have men in here as well. So like a sister and brotherhood.
We're a family.
This familyhood. And like we can all, everyone that listens to this has kind of listened to this on a bad day, or I've re-listened to episodes when I've had a bad day. So I'm sure other people have. So just be able to look at that hashtag and see things that's like encourages them, encourages the guy that had got an accident, encourages the girl that feels like she doesn't want to be here anymore. So yeah, just be nice.
Be nice. Be nice, people, because you never know what people are going through.
Trust.
Yeah.
You don't know. That one little comment can push someone over the edge.
Yeah. How does Jerry Springer sign out again?
Peace out, A-Town down.
Jerry Springer.
Jerry. Take care.
Is it take care?
No, it's not
take care.
No, look after yourself and look after each other.
Look after yourself. Yeah, and look after yourself.
I think it's something like that. Look after yourself and each other. So thank you very much for listening. I've been your girl, Tolly T.
Audrey, formerly known as Ghana's Finest.
And your mamacita Milena Sanchez.
Peace out. A-Town down.
Was it sad?
Okay.
Bye, guys. Look after yourselves. Look after each other.
That's what he says.
Yeah.